You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome to Students Incorporated, a podcast exploring the topics of business, education, technology, and design. I'm your host, Mr. Jason. Join me weekly as my team and I produce content that's informative, positive, fun, and uplifting. Episodes include student conversations, interviews with thought leaders, and inspirational stories with an international flavor. This podcast is created and produced with the help of students from the International Community School of Bangkok. Hello, I'm Mr. Jason. I'll be your host today. I'm joined by my co-hosts, Premi and Rebecca. We also welcome Mr. Christopher to this episode as our guest musician. This episode has been titled Music is Life, and we're excited to dive into the life and journey of a musician along with some music fun at the end. So stay tuned as we get into our first segment right after we get our quote of the day and hear some headline music news.
Our quote of the day comes from Edward Bulwer Lytton. He's quoted as saying, "Music, once admitted to the soul, becomes a sort of spirit and never dies." This quote communicates that music has the power to deeply affect our emotions and can create lasting memories. It has the ability to transcend time and connect us to our past, present, and future selves. When we listen to music, we invite a piece of the artist's soul into our own, creating a connection that resonates long after the music stops playing. And that's our quote of the day.
A significant event that happened early last month was the 2024 Grammys, where most of the attention was directed towards Taylor Swift winning the Best Album Award for her Midnights. Additionally, most of the major awards were won by women, with Billie Eilish's What Was I Made For from the Barbie movie winning the Best Song of the Year Award. While there were many outcries during the event overall, the event went smoothly without any major disturbances, except maybe for an arrest. Following the battle that modern songwriters face against the rising use of AI to produce music and also copying artists' voice, many prominent music artists such as Nicki Minaj and Cardi B have voiced their support of the No AI Fraud Act, which promises artists to defend their fundamental human right to their voice and likeness. By establishing a federal standard preventing the use of AI to copy voices and likeness of artists without consent. Coming all the way from Japan, the four-man band Rad Wimps, which has produced a variety of well-received music from your movies such as Your Name and Weathering With You, will be performing at UOB Live at M-Sphere on May 23rd as part of their 2024 tour, The Way You Yawn and Outcry of Peace, which will cover 7 different Asian countries. Tickets went on sale last week, so if you're interested, hurry up and snag a spot.
Thank you for the quote and the news. To kick us off in this first segment, we'll get some insight into Mr. Christopher's journey into music. Also, make sure you stick around for our second segment, as you'll have a chance to enter our Guess That Song contest. Now, let's get into our first segment. Premi will start us off with our first question.
Hello and welcome to the show. Thanks for bringing your guitar to the studio as well. To get us started, could you please introduce yourself and tell us what you are doing?
Hi. Thanks for having me. My name is Mr. Christopher. I'm a middle school art teacher here at ICS. This is my second year. I teach middle school art, and I also help out with student ministries and mentor the student worship band for middle school. I play music on the side. So earlier this year, I started a band. So we've been playing some gigs around Bangkok and really having fun with that. My free time, I really enjoy live music and going to concerts. So I attend a lot of shows and concerts and stuff like that. Yeah.
Thank you for your self-introduction. We're honored to meet you, Mr. Christopher. Can you share with us how your journey in music began? What were some of your earliest inspirations?
Sure, I've always loved music. One of my first memories of music was being back in elementary school. We have these UIL competitions, and one of the teachers recommended me to go for music memory. And it was like listening to old symphonies, and you had to be able to name not only the name of the song, but also the composer. And I scored the gold medal in it because I was really able to remember everything. So music's always been really important to me. It's kind of how I process my own emotions and everything. So growing up, always been interested. I always wanted to learn how to play guitar. I took some lessons when I was a kid, but it never really stuck. Really started getting into music in middle school and high school, and you know, was playing and just playing around with friends, trying to play in bands and going to concerts and stuff like that. I remember my first growing up, we had cassette tapes, and my first cassette tape was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles soundtrack, and I can still remember some of the songs from that. When I was in middle school, I joined band in middle school, so I played tuba, trombone, and baritone all the way through high school, was in marching band and all that fun stuff.
Did you take music theory your high school year?
I did not, and that's one of my biggest regrets, is as a someone who plays music, I learned how to play music, but I didn't really learn the theory behind it, how to write melody, how to just kind of sit and jam and then just kind of figure it out. As I've gotten older, I'm starting to pick up those skills and everything, but I'm really good at reading music, and like I can even sit down a lot of times and figure out the key and start playing along. But sitting down and trying to write my own melody and stuff like that tends to be the bigger challenge for me.
So you have perfect pitch, right?
I don't know if I would say perfect. But there was one time I was in a store and I was just humming along to the song, and a lady said, "Oh, you've got perfect pitch." And I was like, didn't realize that, but thank you.
You'll definitely ace the course.
But funny thing is, I love to sing now, but I did not know that I knew how to sing until probably I was, I think, 21 or so. I was going to a concert, and we were waiting for the band, and they had a karaoke room, and I'd never done karaoke before, and they were like,
"Was that how you figured it out?"
That's how I figured
that's
it out.
That's crazy. Yeah.
So one of my big regrets is when I was in high school, my favorite musical of all time is Little Shop of Horrors. Oh. It's a movie from the 80s with Rick Moranis, and we did that my senior year of high school, and I wanted to try out for the dentist part, but I did not have confidence, and I was like so shy. So I ended up doing stage manager, and it was great. But I always regret, man, I could have been a great dentist if I'd known that I could sing.
It's crazy how you figured out, though, how you found out. Yeah. That is one story. And we also understand that you're also an art teacher. Mm-hmm. How does your work as an art teacher influence your creative process in music, or vice versa?
I think for me, any art, and I try to connect this with my students as well, is that art has to mean something. It has to reflect some part of your life or some part of your experience to make it meaningful. The best art, in my opinion, connects to the life of an artist. Me as an artist, if I sit down and I try to work on a piece of art and I'm not connected to it emotionally in some way, then I will never finish. I have a portfolio of probably 100 different artworks that I've started and only halfway finished because I just had no connection to it. But then when I am connected to it, there are those times where I can sit down and hours will go by as I'm working on it. I did a portrait last year and I was just so intrigued of like the curve of this person's ear and the flow of the hair, and because that person was really meaningful to me, it made the artwork that much more important to finish. So I think the same thing with music. So if I don't connect to the music in some way, then I lose interest and I get bored. And when I do connect to something, it becomes really meaningful and really valuable.
That's insightful. And I've always admired those who are teachers and can create masterpieces. Could you tell us about any artists or bands that have helped influence your musical style?
Sure. The band I play in now, we play kind of a mix of what I call Texas indie folk and country. Since I come from Texas, I come from a city called Houston, which is a big city. I grew up with country music. But when I was in high school, I got really into punk rock and a lot of like rock bands and stuff like that, going into like more heavy metal type stuff. Around the early 2000s, it was kind of when a lot of indie rock first kind of started hitting, and that completely changed my my musical tastes. So I have like a wide variety of things that I really enjoy, but I would say these days mostly leans towards indie folk and country. Some of the greats like George Strait, who's known as the King of Country from Texas, Willie Nelson, who I've seen many times in concert. He's 91 this year, I think, and still putting on concerts, which is awesome. My favorite band of all time is a band called Tool, which I've seen many times. I used to love a band called 311. There was around 2004 is probably when I was reflect is like my favorite year for music, which is kind of that indie explosion. And there was a label called Saddle Creek that had a lot of my favorite bands at the time. Bands called Rilo Kiley, Bright Eyes, but those were super important to me. Bands like Death Cab for Cutie, Postal Service, because it's not just the instrumentation, but it's the words behind it. And it was a really meaningful time for me. So that influences a lot of my music as well, I think.
That's a lot of genres. Here's a follow-up question. Are there specific ways you incorporate that into your own music?
So like I said, I like to play music that I connect to. So I learn to not only play in a certain style or technique, but I learned kind of the structure and progressions and really how to build dynamics. And I think dynamics is one of the things you really have to learn as a musician or as an artist. It's not just the words, it's not just the melody, but how are you kind of creating an experience for somebody? Like if you're saying words that are, you know, really sad and you're trying to convey a sad emotion, then how is the music building towards that emotion? How are you drawing the listener in to be able to experience the same thing that you're trying to say? I always try to tell my students when they're finishing their artwork that, you know, you as an artist, you put your artwork out there and you have your experiences, you have your worldview, you have your understanding of what your art piece is. But then somebody that is not you is going to come and look at it, and they're going to come with their own experiences and their own worldview and their own thoughts about life. And they might have a completely different interpretation of the art or the piece. And that's part of the fun of art and music is you can connect to it in different ways. And something that is very meaningful to me in one way might be completely meaningful to someone else in a different way. And I think music kind of transcends that idea as well.
I love that. That's really true, though. Like, with all, like, the interpretations. As a writer myself, I hear this a lot, and I get this a lot, too, with, like writer when I'm writing my own pieces, and then versus how other people see that work, and then how they interpret it. And then I think there's, like, a long-standing question I'd love to ask, like, whenever, like, we're analyzing literature. One of the questions that comes up is, like, so what is the meaning behind the piece? Is it the meaning that the author intended for the piece, or is it the meaning that readers take away from it, and like what is valid, or like what should be, which should be the way it is? Where does the line intersect, and is there like a right meaning or right interpretation?
Right or wrong? That's a tough, yeah, tough balance on that one. I kind of feel like any character that's out there kind of carries a piece of the author with them in some ways, because it is an author that's kind of coming up with their thoughts and their behaviors and their ideas. But sometimes, you know, you're creating this thing and then you put it out, and when you put it out, you do have to let it go,
right?
And you have to let it breathe and become its own thing. So I don't think I could give you like a black or white answer on that.
It is not black and white.
It's kind of all mixed in. Sometimes it is nice to be able to separate the art from the artist.
Yeah,
it's
that
the art stand alone.
Yeah, I hear that too a lot.
There are a lot of songs that I like that I probably would not like the person who made them very much. So
yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Okay, next question is: could you describe your creative process? How do you go from an initial idea to a finished song, and what challenges do you face along the way?
I usually start with the words. I was a big writer in my younger days, so I used to love writing poetry, and to me, writing lyrics is kind of like writing poetry. Mm-hmm. And many times I get inspiration that just kind of comes from, I'm a big people watcher and just watching,
I love that,
you know, interactions and stuff, and something might happen or I might rhyme something and then I try to sit down and write it down or keep notes. But then I'm like, if I don't have anything to write it down, I'll be like, oh, I'm going to really remember this one. And I usually forget, which is kind of sad. But I like to start with the words. And I feel like that's kind of the easiest part for me is being able to figure out, you know, the stanzas or the verses and the chorus. The challenge for me, I think, is really trying to figure out the melody. I might be able to figure out like a chord structure, but trying to come up with a really, really nice, doesn't have to be intricate, but nice flowing melody to a song that's trying to capture that emotion or capture that feeling that I'm trying to go for, it becomes the challenge. I might start with like a chord progression and then I'll try to like either hum or sing a melody on top of that chord progression. And I tend to record myself. So I have a lot of these recordings of myself where it's just playing guitar and I'm, you know, on top of the guitar. So yeah, and then later you kind of have to take those things. And it's almost like a puzzle putting them together and trying to get them to fit. And that's probably the most challenging part is trying to, you know, take that idea with the emotion and the melody and trying to mix it all.
Wow, that's a lot of work. We never imagine the amount of work that goes into each song. Can you share a memorable live performance experience you've had?
I'm a big concert person, so I love going to concerts. And I have gone to this music festival called Coachella, California, which is probably super famous. I went to Coachella 8 times, but the first time I went was 2004, which I was talking about kind of my indie era, you know, and at that time was the first like super huge music festival. We did a road trip. Like I live in Houston, which is about 22-hour drive from LA. So we did a road trip and drove from Houston to the desert of California. We camped in the desert and went to the festival for a few days. And at the time was the lineup was probably the most amazing lineup I had ever seen at the time. Radiohead headlined the first night, The Cure headlined the second night, and pretty much every indie band at that time that I had wanted to see was there. And it was just one of those moments that like just really impacted, man, like I really love this moment right here, make you feel alive, you know. And I have Coachella kind of now has become this really over commercialized thing, and they used to get really, you know, interesting artists or reunions. Like, I think that was, I saw a band called The Pixies who hadn't had a show in maybe 15 years and they reunited for that. When I saw Radiohead, they're notorious for hating their song Creep because it got so famous. So they just never play it live. And they actually played it live there. And Tom York just completely wrecked the song. It was hilarious, you know. And then The Cure, it's like one of them, you know, most well-known bands of all time, did a greatest hit set where they played some songs that they hadn't played live in 20 years. And it's just like those special moments, you know, being able to be there for that. And all the different times I went to Coachella, I had experiences like that, like seeing Prince or going to see Daft Punk. And it was the first time that they did the Pyramid or the Flaming Lips. And Flaming Lips are known for, you know, putting the singer in this big inflatable ball, but it was like the first time they tried it was like I was there at that moment. And then you get to meet all these cool celebrities and stuff. A funny story about meeting Danny DeVito. If you ever have time, I'll tell you about that.
Well, you bring a notebook and a pen with you where when you go to concert or like music shows?
Actually, I used to. So I keep all my concert tickets. So especially when I was younger, you used to have to go to Ticketmaster to buy them and you got ticket stubs. Now it's just kind of like an email confirmation. So it's not as cool, you know, but I have a couple photo albums that have all the concerts I went to all the way from, I think, 1996 up to present day. And had some cool experiences where I got to meet a lot of the musicians. So I have a lot of autographs and I met Chris Martin of Coldplay, you know, one time backstage. But actually, when I first started going to big shows like that, like I have a notebook that I took to Coachella. That's where I crazy. Like wrote down stuff that I wanted to remember. And sometimes I forget it. So it's nice to go back and look at it and be like, I remember this moment. I remember that, you know, which is really cool.
Oh, that's really sweet. Dang, that must be like a whole bunch of pages of concert tickets. Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a big storage box. I kept all my concert t-shirts too. So I have some concert t-shirts that go all the way back to the 90s. Which
That's crazy.
Awesome.
Oh, wow. Okay. Now, for our final question in this first segment, looking ahead, do you have any upcoming projects or goals that you're excited about?
Yeah, actually, last year I ended up starting a band here in Bangkok. And it was one of those things where I think I was just feeling kind of down and just a little bit lonely, where like we just kind of moved to Bangkok and I wasn't really connecting and finding friends. And I was like, I'm just going to like, always wanted to do a band, so I'm just going to do it. And I put out some feelers on Facebook like, hey, this is what I'm looking for. Anybody interested in getting together and playing? And then had a handful of guys that reached out and we ended up meeting together and playing and really connected. So we ended up starting a band. Happened to be at a show at a place called Speaker Box. Went to see this Thai band called Wicked Lights, which is kind of like a Thai version of Bon Iver. But I was really excited to see them. And I just happened to talk to the owner. And it was right when I kind of started the band. At the time, only had like one committed person. And I was telling the owner about it. And he's like, well, if you ever want to play here, you know, let me know. And I was like, really? And I was like, I took that as a sign of, let's just do it, you know? So kind of stepped out in faith. And we just had a concert this last weekend, which was kind of our biggest crowd to date. I think it was about 40 people that was there, and it was super fun. So the band's called Lone Star Lament. We play a mix of Texas indie folk and country. Right now we're just kind of playing cover songs, so we're kind of trying to learn to gel as a band, but we're going to start working on some original music and stuff like that. But we tend to play about one gig a month is about what everybody can commit to, but it's just been really fun to just get out and play, you know. I've had so many experiences being like in the crowd and like, man, I wish I could be on stage, and now it's kind of like making that dream come true a little bit, so...
Okay, there you have it. That's the end of segment one. And yes, we'll be right back after this short PSA.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Listen up, people. The concert season is upon us here in Bangkok. There have been some big names already, like K-pop, NCT 127, Coldplay, Ed Sheeran, Novo Amor, Rod Stewart, and others. Don't worry if you've already missed these groups. Here's a list of upcoming shows in March. Wave to Earth at Union Hall in Bangkok on March 9th. The famous Tom Jones will be performing at M-Sphere March 14th. And if you're into head-banging heavy metal, Slash will be in Bangkok performing on March 15th at Centerpoint Studio. And finally, on March 30th, Bruno Mars will be performing at the National Stadium here in Bangkok. Get your earplugs and your friends together and go enjoy a concert this month. We are back with part two, and we still have Mr. Christopher in the studio, and he's brought his guitar. To start off this segment, we're going to have a little contest, not for the podcast team, but for you, our listeners. Here's the rules. Mr. Christopher will play a few seconds of a popular song in a specific genre. If you know the song, make note of it. After he has made it through all of the songs, we will announce a way for you to respond back to us with your answers. The first two responders who have the most points correct will win a special prize from the Students Incorporated podcast team. Here's how we count up the points. You get 1 point for getting the title and artist correct. You get a half point if you get one or the other correct. There are 5 regular songs worth 1 point, and 1 bonus song at the end with 2 points. Let's start. Over to you, Premi.
Okay, this sounds fun. The first song falls into the music genre of classic rock. Mr. Christopher, are you ready to play a few seconds of our first song?
Let's do it.
Anything you want to say before you play this?
No.
All right, so let's get started.
Thank you. Hopefully our listeners are up on their classic rock music. Okay, our next song falls into the country music genre. Mr. Christopher, we're ready if you are.
Oh,
Thank you. And a quick message to our listeners. If you need to hear the song again, just rewind and replay. Easy. Okay, our next song falls into the genre category of hard rock or rock and roll. Go ahead and play the next song, Mr. Christopher. Next song. The next song is the genre of pop music. Mr. Christopher, go ahead and play when you're ready. That was fun, thank you. And our next song genre is indie. Typically, indie music is produced and released independently from a commercial record label. Mr. Christopher, go ahead when you're ready. Thank you. Our last song of this contest is our bonus song, and it's worth 2 points. No hints on this one. Mr. Christopher, go ahead and play our bonus song when you're ready. Now that we have made it through all our songs, here is how you can send in your answers to us. Simply send us an email with your answers to studentsincorporated@gmail.com. Make sure you include your name. Again, send your answers to studentsincorporated@gmail.com. That's studentsincorporadcast@gmail.com. Now moving on, we've asked Mr. Christopher to help us in this last segment with some music. Anything you'd like to share about this song before you play it?
So one of the big ideas of my band is that we play music that has a tinge of sadness to it. Not in like a boring way or a melancholy way, but in kind of the way of where we think love, misery brings us together, you know, brings us together to kind of celebrate the things that are kind of sad in life. So it doesn't necessarily mean that when something's sad, it's just like depressing and really just down, right? There's so many songs I can think about that have fun or like a positive message, but just has that tinge of sadness to it. It's kind of based off of a movie that I used to love called High Fidelity that had John Cusack and Jack Black in it. And one of the quotes from the movie, he's talking a little bit about his depression, and he says, "Do I listen to pop music because I'm depressed, or am I depressed because I listen to pop music? Or is it like one of those cycle things, you know?" So the idea behind the band is to celebrate those songs. Because everybody, I think, can figure out a song. So this song is like actually, when you think about it, quite a happy song. But it's actually one of those things that takes something that's really happy and really beautiful. But it's also got a tinge of sadness to it. It's kind of, you guys seen the movie Up? I will never forget watching the first 5 minutes of Up and then just crying my eyes out because it's the story of that love story and where the old guy, his wife passes away at the end. So this song is kind of about that, where it's a beautiful marriage and everything, but how much time do we have together? You know, maybe 40 years, something like that. Eventually one of us is going to have to live life alone. So beautiful song, but has that kind of tinge of sadness to it. So it's called If We Were Vampires by Jason Isbell.
Fragile heart you protected for so long. Thank you.
As we end this episode, Mr. Christopher has reminded us that music can take on a life of its own. It's something that has the ability to connect to our hearts and souls. It can also connect us together. Thanks again for sharing your talents with our audience and for helping remind us all that sometimes we just need to stop and listen to the music. As always, this podcast would not be possible without the hard work and support of our international student production team.
All music and sound effects are courtesy of Pixabay.com, a vibrant community of creatives sharing copyright-free images, videos, and music.
And we are signing off until next time. We are Students Incorporated, because your voice matters.